Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 12. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. And if we can, read that together, all together. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And let's go ahead and stand as we read the Word of God this morning. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. If you have that, say amen. 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 Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Ready? Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And let's pray. Father, I do thank you for today and the opportunity we can be here. Thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, just how you've allowed us to have it. We thank you for the reports of missionaries that keep on during the pandemic and what's going on throughout this world, that they're still able to get people saved and get the gospel out. And we thank you for that. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, please, you'd help them and strengthen them. But Lord, we need you to meet with us this morning. We need you to speak to our heart. We need you to open up our eyes and our hearts to be able to hear the Word of God, to see so our faith can be increased in your Word and in you. So Holy Spirit, please pray to bless Phil Preacher, the power as he brings a message to us today. And we will give you on glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
All right, you may be seated. As we look into Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, this is a passage that I've referred to quite often. When I'm sharing the gospel message with someone, of course, trying to help them to understand their sin condition. I don't want to just show up on the door and point my finger in their face and say, you're a sinner and you're going to die and go to hell. I want them to know that all of mankind is in the situation of sin, and it's our legacy, if you would. And I want to talk about our heart's condition. And many verses in Scripture talk about the seat or the center of man, the heart and its condition. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 18 says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man." Of course, helping us to understand that the heart that many times has been mentioned over 1,000 times throughout Scripture, sometimes referring to literally talking about the heart, the organ that pumps blood. But many times it's used figuratively, speaking about the inner man, the inner person. Of course, the seat or the essence of the personality or the center of all life, our heart. And of course, here Matthew chapter 15, verse number 18 is talking about the fact that uncleanliness is not just external; it can be internal as well. That it's not just that we can be filthy on the outside, but our filthiness is from within. And of course, that begins to defile that begins in the heart of man, and it moves outwardly. So as we look at, I think of the word legacy. I think of a name or something you want to pass on to your children or your children's children. Maybe some people want to build a legacy, whether it be financially or whether through a business or a corporation. Some people want to build a legacy so that they will be remembered, maybe by monuments or plaques on buildings someday, by something they've done. But as we look at the legacy as something that is passed on from one generation to the next, I can't help but to think in Proverbs chapter 12, Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, we see that the legacy of mankind comes from Adam. And that legacy is sin. Sin is our legacy in the human nature. And we have will always be remembered, of course, recorded in history, in the Word of God, forever. And it will always be remembered that man in his sinful condition, that we have all the way back from the very first parents of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. As they disobeyed God, we were born into sin, and that they left us in that condition throughout the human race. as we look at that, as someone once said that Thomas Boston, a pastor from the 1700s, had said that God made Adam the captain of the ship in which all of our goods and all mankind was placed in, and he ran us into the rocks and made a shipwreck out of all of us. And that might be the case, of course, as you think, that we were born into sin. And in Romans chapter 5 is very clear, and it reminds us of that. But I want to not just focus on our condition and the fact that Adam, being the father of all mankind here on this earth, but there's also in Scripture a second Adam, the last Adam, as the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians, and we'll look there in just a second, of course, referring to Jesus Christ. So in Adam, we have all of mankind in nature, in our human nature, and then we have that have been born as Jesus was teaching, or was teaching in the Bible, that born of water. Then we have in Christ those that were born of the Spirit. And of course, that that need for a second birth, because if there's not a second birth, there's going to be a second death. And of course, we know in Romans that for the wages of sin is death. That's talking about that eternal death, an eternal separation from God forever. But we see that in the first Adam, we are all lost. But I want to show you some comparisons between Adam and Christ and what it means in our life. And in just a minute, we'll look there. But I want to kind of just give you some scripture to kind of help us understand our condition of our legacy that we have, and we will continue to pass on till Christ comes to take us to heaven to be with Him forever. And we will continue to pass on this legacy. If I could, this would be a legacy I would not have passed on to my children, but it's not up to me. It's part of who I am, and it's part of who we are. And as you look at 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 46, it says, if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not. Psalms 51:5 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We are born into sin. Anyone that says, well, I've lived a perfect life, I've never done anything wrong, we were born into sin. There is no one that can claim to be perfect other than Jesus Christ. And that's why it's so important that at Christmas time, again, we celebrate the virgin birth, because David is writing in Psalms 51:5 that he was born in sin, that he was conceived in sin. But Jesus Christ did not have an earthly father. He was born of a virgin. Of course, Mary, as the Holy Spirit planted the seed in Mary's womb, he did not have that sin DNA. That legacy that we have was not passed on to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's legacy, he is of God, and he is perfect, and he is the spotless Lamb of God. And he came with that purpose of taking our place on the cross of Calvary. But David is acknowledging and recording that we as human beings are born in sin when we were conceived. Psalms 143 verse 2 says, and enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. We are in a world of iniquity. We are spotted with sin, and we cannot be justified of our own. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That is our condition this morning. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him. But we see here that described of who we are, we're evil. When I think about what's going on in the evilness of this world, it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me when mankind and their sinful condition, and the Bible tells us all of the things that the flesh, the fruits of the flesh, when they act those out, when we have people that act out, and it's sad to see that those in our society act like children, and when they don't get their way, boy, they write on everything, they tear things down, they burn, they steal, they do everything that that's within our nature. They're just acting out the legacy that's been passed on in that sinful nature in which we are and find ourselves in. Romans chapter 3, verse 19, it says, Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law it is the knowledge of sin. You know, God has given us the commandments and the law, the word of God, not so that we will be able to keep it all, but to give us a knowledge of our sin, to show us. It's a mirror to reveal to us our sinful condition so we can can acknowledge our sin and to stand before God in the sense of giving account for ourselves and understanding our situation so we can accept Jesus Christ. But Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses of sin, wherein in times past ye walked according to the curse of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So we see that is our condition that we find ourselves in today, that the legacy in which we pass on is the wickedness and the sin in which we were born in, and our grandfathers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers were born into, and we will continue to pass that on while we are here in this flesh. But if you would, turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, we see that in verse number 12 of Romans 5 that sin came into this world by Adam's disobedience, by Adam's sin. And so if one man's sin can bring sin into this world and pass that legacy on to you and to I, that the one man can change that or can help us to be born in the Spirit, of course, Jesus Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's look at verse number 45. "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual." Talking about Adam, the first man, of course, the father of all human nature, and talking about Jesus Christ, the father of the spiritual, of those that are saved. "The first man is of the earth, earthly, and the second man is of the Lord from heaven." Talking about Jesus Christ. "As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly, and as is heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we born the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." So as we see here, as you go back also to Romans chapter 5, you see as it reminds us the two representatives there, or the two heads, of course, the first Adam, which God created in the Garden of Eden, which brought the curse of sin onto mankind and caused that legacy to be passed on from every generation to our present day, and will continue to do so until the Lord comes back and destroys this earth. But with that, we see the second Adam, or the last Adam, as we sing in a Christmas song, the second Adam from above, referring to Jesus Christ. As Adam was the father of all mankind, Jesus Christ, the father of that which is spiritual, of course, to be born again. As we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible refers and talks a lot about being a new creature, being born again, as we refer to it quite a bit. It's someone who's been saved. I talk about being born again, of course, the old nature, dying, of course, that nature that we received from Adam, and that new creature, that new nature, being born of the Spirit, that of Jesus Christ. And so I want to kind of share and give you a little bit of comparisons as we look at what happened when we were in our old state, the old nature, before we received Jesus Christ as our Savior. And hopefully everyone here this morning and everyone watching has done so. If you have not, I want to urge you and plead with you this morning to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Hopefully this will help to show you the condition in which you find yourself in. And it's not just you. Everyone finds themselves in, and those that have accepted Christ as their Savior have come to the acknowledgement of this condition in their life. So to help you illustrate, I've got a book, and in this book is everyone that has ever lived, our human nature. And this is the book of Adam. Now, it's not. I've just put a piece of paper over there. But for the sake of illustration, so use your imagination, this is the book of Adam. This is our human nature. This is the legacy in which we were born. We were born, and everyone here, we find ourselves at some point all related, because we all came from Adam and Eve. So everything within us we find from here, our human nature and the things in which we want to do, the things of the flesh, we find come from this book of Adam. Now, we also have another book. Thankfully, that's not the only book. This is not the only chapter or the only phase of our life, but there's another book. There's the book of Christ, of course, the last Adam, or the second Adam, as we see that we can become more, less like what we were, and can die to our old self, but become a new creature, can become that which is spiritual. Of course, as we look in 1 Corinthians, talking about this book, this part of our life is that of the earth, is not of spiritual and heavenly things, but the Christ is. And so as we look at things, I want to kind of give you the contrast between the two. When we were born into sin and conceived in sin, our legacy was that of sin. We lived and breathed sin. When we have our children and we raise our children at a young age, we don't teach them how to sit. We don't sit them down and say, "Here's how you lie. Here's how you cheat. Here's how you roll your eyes at me when I don't want you to. Here's how you hit your brother or sister." Although I might have some tips for you. No, but I never had any sisters, so praise the Lord for that. But no, we don't sit down and teach our children how to do those things, just like our parents didn't sit down and teach us to do those things. Why? Because it was in our nature. So we see in the very first thing in which we have in our legacy is sin. And that sin has been passed on from every generation to generation. As we see in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world." Sin entered this world through Adam's disobedience. Even though Eve had was beguiled and tricked, God blamed Adam because Eve was deceived by Satan. She was beguiled. She was tricked. She really thought. But when she came to Adam, Adam knowingly knew that it was not supposed to be eaten of, knew that it was wrong, and he did it anyway. He gave in, and God judged Adam, as he said, "One man, sin, entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed from all men, for that all have sinned." We are born in sin. There is no one righteous because we're all born in sin. It's not just once we get old enough to disobey. No, we are born in unbelief. We are born into sin, and everyone has that within them. And so we see that from Adam, our legacy, we have sin. But through Jesus Christ, when we come to repentance and we come to the admittance of that sin, and that's the first step. If we don't admit that we're a sinner, if we don't admit that in our human nature, in each and every individual, that sin exists, we're in denial at why would we need a Savior? If we can't, when I try to lead someone to Christ, I try to get them lost first in the sense of showing them that there's a sin problem. Because if there's not a sin problem, there's no need for them to have a solution or to have a Savior. In order to be saved, you have to be saved from something, and they need to understand that they're a sinner and they need to be saved from their sin, because our sin comes from Adam. But through that, through the second birth, through trusting in Jesus Christ, well, that sin can become righteousness. That sin that was once a black mark against us and would cause judgment to come across us now causes us to be righteous in the sight of God. Now we have righteousness in Christ. That old nature, that Adam, we have death. That death, the cause of sin will be death one day, and we will die. And of course, this was God's promise in the Garden of Eden, that sin would cause death. And of course, Satan, with his trickery, and oh, surely you're not going to die. She didn't die that moment, but there was a death. There was a death to the relationship between them and God. There was now a physical death that would happen, but now a spiritual death came upon them the moment that they disobeyed. And death passed upon all men. Romans chapter 5 verse 17, it says, "For if by one man's offense," talking about what Adam did, he disobeyed, "death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ." So because of one man's sin, we have death. But because of one man's sin, that death, and God had loved us and he gave us a way so that we would not have to die, he gave us someone else, another man's death, to conquer or to wipe out that blot. So now instead of death, we now have life. Instead of having to look forward to the end of this life, knowing that one day we die, we're going to spend eternity in a place called hell to pay for our sins by an eternal death. As the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That's an eternal death. That's a spiritual death, a separation from God forever in a place called hell. But because of Jesus Christ, because of the last Adam, the first one being of the natural, of earth, but the second heavenly and spiritual, now we have abundant life. And as the Bible says in 1 John 5:11, "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Through Jesus Christ, now we have eternal life. John 3:16. We know and we talk about that everlasting life through Jesus Christ. We also look through Adam in our human nature, the legacy in which we have. We also find banishment, that separation that from God, because God cannot be in the presence of sin. He is a holy God. He and in his holiness, he cannot be around sin. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off," that banishment, that separation from God forever is a punishment that I think hell is not just burning in fire, but it's out of God's presence for eternity. And that banishment, that mankind was banished. You think of Adam and Eve. They were banished from the Garden of Eden. They were kicked out of it. And cherubims and angels, guards were placed at the gate of it so that no man could ever enter in lest he eat of the tree of life. That mankind would have to die, because if we were to live forever in our sinful condition, oh, what a terrible world this would be. What a terrible life, knowing that we would never be able to rid of this sinful flesh. Boy, I glory and I look forward to the day I no longer have to struggle with myself, with this flesh, with the things of this world, knowing that one day I'll be perfect, not because of anything that I am or anything that I've done, but because of who I've trusted, who I've become a child of, and that's through the banishment, through Christ. When we accepted Christ as our Savior and we left that old nature, we died to that old self and we became a new creature in Christ, we now have nearness. Now, not only is it we have to be away from God, we are separated from God, but now God draws us to Him. Now we can go boldly before the throne of grace. Now we get the opportunity to pray and to go into God's presence every day. And we get to walk with Him like Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden. You and I, we can walk with Him each and every day. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now we have the closeness of God because of Jesus Christ, that last Adam. As you look at our human nature, our legacy, next I find the condemnation. The condemnation of our sin. As I think of Romans chapter 5, verse 18, where it says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came unto all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So that condemnation, that shame and that reproach that was upon our life now becomes justification. Now being guilty before an almighty God of everything that we've done, now I'm justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now I've been cleared. Not only was I guilty before going to face the great white throne judgment, now I've been cleared of all charges. I've been justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. I've gone from condemnation over to justification. As also I think of Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith. I'm not justified by my works. I'm not justified by this church. I'm not justified by baptism. The Bible says I'm justified by faith. Salvation is only through faith. It's not through works. It's not through going through a man. It's not going through someone to have your sins forgiven. It's only through your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. I'm justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I've gone from condemnation over to justification. I also think of the legacy in which we've been passed by mankind. I think of the curse. The curse of sin, the curse of that's been upon mankind. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law and to do them. Have we done everything that's in this book? No, we have not. So therefore, we're under the curse. We have a curse placed upon us, and that is sin and the judgment of sin one day. But now, because we've left this old legacy of nature, and through salvation we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we've gone from the first Adam to the last Adam, and we've gone from that which was cursed to that which is blessed. Oh, I'm blessed this morning. I'm not cursed. I was before I got saved, but now once I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I'm blessed. Oh, I'm blessed beyond measure. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath what? Blessed us. Oh, we've gone from being under the curse of the law and the judgment of that would come one day of burning in hell to pay for our sins forever. And that curse that was coming, when now we have the blessing of Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. Now through Christ, That second Adam, I've gone from being cursed to being blessed. Through this legacy in which we have of mankind, we also have through sin, we have the judgment. The judgment that is coming. In John 3:36, it says, he that believeth on the Son of hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You know, there's one thing as a husband, I've had my wife mad at me. As a father, I've had my kids mad at me. As a son, I've had my parents mad at me. As a student, my teachers were always mad at me. I've had people mad at me in times past. There's one person I don't ever want to have the wrath come upon me, and that's God. But we see that in our human nature, in which we are of Adam, in this flesh, we have the wrath of God upon our lives. What this world doesn't understand, they can try to say that God's not real, or he doesn't exist, or he's dead, or he no longer cares, or he's changed his mind on certain things. Understand, they're going to face the wrath of God. And as we look at this world, you say, well, why is those that are so abundantly wicked or so vocal in being wicked, you know, why doesn't God just squash them? One day, understand, they're going to face the wrath of God. Just like we were going to stand account at the judgment seat or the great white throne judgment and face the wrath of God. But when we died to that old nature and we were born again into that second Adam, that last Adam, now we've gone from wrath to deliverance. That deliverance in Jesus Christ, that he delivered us from the wrath that was going to take place in the wrath of hell one day. 2 Corinthians 1:10, it says, who delivered us from so great a death? Well, let's not forget what Christ did in our lives. Don't get to the point where you stop remembering. Oh, I love the Lord's Supper, and if I can figure out a way how we can do it without, during this virus, but we're going to have it as soon as possible. I love remembering what Christ did on the cross. I don't ever want to forget. I don't want it to ever get old. Yeah, as we get older, we forget things, but there's some things as a Christian we should never forget. We should never forget the day that we went from judgment to deliverance, that God delivered us from our sins. And it should never get old singing about it. It should never get old singing Amazing Grace. I've sung it 1,000 times. Let me tell you, it's singing it 1,000 times is not enough, because it should never get old to the heart that remembers and understands where God has delivered him from the judgment that awaited you as a lost individual on your way to hell. And through Jesus Christ, now you've been delivered. Now not only do you have to not face that death, but now you've been delivered to a place called heaven. Who hath delivered us from such so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us? Understanding that one day we'll never have to face the pit of hell. We'll never have to face the worms that eat at our body. We'll never have to go through the pain and the suffering of those that are in hell. And of course, I think of that rich man that cried out to Lazarus, to Abraham, just to come and to take one drop of water and tip it on his tongue so that he could be relieved from the torment. Understand that we have been delivered from the judgment that we were deserving of when we became a new creature in Christ, the last Adam. I think of this legacy in which has been passed on to us. I'd like to pass on some good things to my children so that they can have a legacy of a name in which means something, and some traits and some things in which they can continue to pass on. But one of the things in which in this earth we pass on is in Adam is shame. Through our sin comes shame. Ezekiel 16:5 says, none I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out into the open field to the loathing of thy person. Understanding that our sin brings shame. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God and they sinned, what did they do? They ran and hid themselves. You know why? because shame comes with sin. Shame came upon them. You ever had an animal and you come in and you'll know they do something, or you just see a child's face and you can tell something's not right. Why? Because with sin comes shame. And that sin was a shame upon our lives as we, those that would be cast out into the field for all to see. But that shame in our sin became glory when Jesus Christ was accepted as our payment of sin. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and became that new creature, that shame that was a blot against our mark now is a glory of knowing that our sins have been forgiven, that when Jesus Christ or when God one day looks upon us, He'll see the reflection of His Son. He'll see the justification. He'll see the life. He'll see the blessings. He'll see the deliverance, and He's going to see. Well, we bask in that glory. John chapter 17, verse 24, it says, "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me," Jesus is talking to the Father saying, "Those that You've given Me, be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory, which Thou hast given Me. For Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world." Boy, that they may behold My glory. You and I, we get to live in the glory of Jesus Christ. And we sing, boy, the many songs that we sing about glory. You and I, we have glory because of the glory that's been given to us by Jesus Christ. That new nature in which when we trusted Christ as our Savior, we went from shame to glory. And boy, we sing of that day that we'll be in glory in the presence of Jesus Christ. But today, we have the glory of the Holy Spirit. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit living within us. As I also look into that legacy in which mankind has, the book of Adam, we have poverty. That you and I, we were without. We have nothing. Isaiah 55:1 says, "Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without honey and without price." You and I, we're in the poverty of sin. You and I, we have nothing to be able to pay our sin debt. We cannot do anything to be good enough or work our way to heaven. You and I are in the extreme class of poverty, that nothing we could do could buy our sins other than going to hell to pay for them forever. We have nothing to offer to God. But through God and through that Adam, the nature in which we are born, to the spirit in which we are born, that new creature, that new life that we have in Jesus Christ, we've gone from poverty to riches. What to think about that moment you got saved. Everybody loves to hear a rags-to-riches story. Everyone loves to hear, boy, as someone that's been successful, maybe you read books as a kid, as someone who's gone from the rags to riches. Everyone loves that. Boy, you think of the stories that have been told, even today, the books and the movies about Cinderella. Boy, rags to riches. To think, that is our life. My life is a Cinderella story, as it went from poverty and in desperation and in despair to the riches of heaven. That there's a mansion waiting for me one day that I'll be able to call my own. That I'll be able to walk down the streets of gold and to be there in heaven. I went from poverty to riches. In 2 Corinthians 8:9 it says, "For ye know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor." Jesus came and He left heaven to die on the cross and to become sin debt, our sin debt, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Through His sacrifice, you and I, we can become the heirs of heaven. We can become the heirs and the children of God. I think of which we opened that book of our sin nature once again, I see the sickness. Not just the physical sickness in which we have, which is a result of sin, but the sickness, the disease of sin that's stricken our lives and our society in this world. Isaiah 1:5 says, "Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more, and the whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. But the wounds and the bruises and the petrifying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Boy, as we see in our sinful condition, we are sick. You think, oh, we even use that word, saying, oh, that person's so sick. How could someone or a society so sick, how could they do that or get to that point where they could hurt someone like that or do that to that person? Understand, we in our sinful condition, we are sick. But through that sickness, we have gone from Adam, in which is our nature, to through Jesus Christ. Now we have health. We have health. As you look to Psalms 23:3, as David even penned in Psalms 23, he restoreth my soul. Restoreth it what? From the sickness it was to health. Being restored to the condition in which it should be. And as we trust in Christ, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his sake. Boy, I think of that old nature, that young man that I was before I got saved. I was born in sin, and I was living. Boy, I think my life was filled with sickness. But through Jesus Christ and that new creature in which I can now acquire as that new born-again believer, now I have health in which I can be restored like David wrote in Psalms 23. I think in which we open that book once again, we'll find defeat. We'll find defeat. Second Timothy 2:26, it says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We live in defeat. An individual that's lost without Christ and they fall into temptation, they fall after sin after sin after sin, it's no wonder, because they live a life of defeat. You'll never have victory in your life. You'll never have victory over sin. You'll never have victory in your lives until you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Someone who struggles with something their whole life and addictions, that's why I love Reformers Unanimous, as it's a Bible-based addiction program. It doesn't matter how many AA programs you go or how many meetings you go to, because you're never going to have victory in your life. Why? Because you're living a life in defeat, as we live in defeat, as we are taken captive by the devil. But 1 John 5:4 says, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we go from a life that is defeated to a life that's victorious. The life that we can no longer say, well, I'm just a sinful creature. That's just what I do. I sin. I lie. I cheat. I steal. That's just who I am. No, as a Christian, we can live the victorious Christian life because we've gone from death. We've gone from sin. We've gone from defeat and now to victory. As a Christian, we will never be sinless because we have all been born into sin. We've discussed that and discovered that in God's Word. But you, this morning, this week, we do not have to live, or this past week, we did not have to live in sin. We did not have to give into temptation. We did not have to live a defeated Christian life because we have victory through God's Word. We have victory through the Holy Spirit. We only have defeat when we choose not to live in the fruit of the Spirit, when we allow the Holy Spirit not to control us, when we live in the flesh. But we've been given victory through Jesus Christ, the victory that overcame this world. We open once again. We find in there, in our lives, this world, and even in our lives, we know it's filled with sorrow. Sorrow is a part of life. The sorrow of losing a loved one, of course, everyone will die at some point. The sorrow of heartache, of dealing with the problems of this world. I many times feel bad for people that are in the world. And many times I've tried to help someone, get them into church, and I see their story, or I hear their life. Well, I feel bad for them because I know and I see the heartache that they deal with on a daily basis. As a man, I cannot, and I've said it before, I cannot imagine living in this world today without Jesus Christ. I am not strong enough. So, oh, you're weak, you use Jesus, say what you want, but this world is filled with sorrow, heartache. But when we understand that that's the nature in which we're born, that's not where we have to stay. Because we have in Scripture, in Genesis 3:17, it says, "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou should not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. And in sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life." Oh, the sorrow that comes with this life. The sorrow and pain of health and of toiling and working, but yet that's not where we, that's not the new us. That's not the new believer, the Christian, because now we've gone from sorrow to joy. You think of those that are going through the virus and those that are thinking about the uncertain times and the future. Boy, this world is filled with sorrow of and fear. But we as Christians, we get to live in joy. We get to smile and put a smile on our face saying, you know what, this world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. One day I'm going to be up in the mansion. One day I'm going to be where there's going to be no more tears, where every tear will be wiped away and sorrow will not be there. Sin will not be there. Heartache will not be there. Death will not be there. My mother-in-law will be there. Praise the Lord. And if she's watching, it was just a joke. Praise the Lord, my mother-in-law will be there. I love her very much. But to think all of those things that will not be there, let me tell you, we can have joy. We can have joy in 2020 and all the problems and the viruses and all the plagues and wars and diseases and whoever's going to be the next president. Let me tell you, we can have joy because we've gone from the old nature to the new creature that we were born in Jesus Christ, and now we have access to joy. And we can go to work and we can put a smile on our face, whether it's behind the mask, whether we squint our eyes real hard, or whether we paint one on our mask, it doesn't matter. We can go through life and people say, what's wrong with you? Why are you so happy? Haven't you watched the news lately? Oh yeah, I have. And it just means that Christ is coming back any day now. Why? Because as a Christian, we get to go through life with joy. We have the joy. As we look once again into this book of Adam, I find that we live in weakness. Oh, our flesh is so weak. Oh, our flesh in which we are so frail. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." We were without strength. We were without strength to break the bonds of sin. We were without strength to be able to conquer our sin nature. We could not do it on our own. We were powerless. We were weak. And we find ourselves, as those say, well, the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And we use that as an excuse. And we allow that weakness that is in our human nature to be our excuse to continue to sin. No, that should not be the case, because through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, now we've gone from weakness to power. Now we've got the power. Amen. We've been plugged in, if you would. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "I can do all things through Jesus Christ." Now that doesn't sound like someone who's living in weakness. You say, well, I just can't do that. Okay, you go ahead and live in the flesh. You go ahead and live in that old nature. That is which weak. But the Bible tells me, as a new creature, as a believer, a child of God, I've got power. I've got the power of God available to me through prayer, through the Holy Spirit, and through His Word. As we walk and live in this world, we don't have to live defeated in our weakness, because we have the power of God. And we need to desire to have the power of God in our lives. I can do all things which strengtheneth. That's a power that we have available to us the day we got saved. You know, when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior on October 10th, 1986, I didn't understand all of these things that took place that day. All I wanted to do is not go to hell. I got saved out of fear. Some people may have got saved because of the love of God. Think, oh, if God died, I got saved because I didn't want to go to a place called hell. I did not want to die in my sinful nature. I did not want to die. I didn't understand that at that time, that life and justification and blessings and glory and riches and health and victory and joy and power. All I wanted was heaven instead of hell. But when we became a new creature, and the Bible tells us all of the things that took place, wow, how blessed are we to understand what took place the day you got saved. Are you saved? Do you know you're on your way to heaven this morning? As I open, boy, I cannot believe the time has gone by so fast. Enmity. We are an enemy of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 7, it says, because of the carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity means an enemy. We were an enemy of God. I don't want to be an enemy of God. You know, I want to be an enemy of the devil, but I never want to be an enemy of God. But in our old nature, in our sinful condition that we were born in, we were at enmity with God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But we went from enmity to oneness. We went to be an enemy of God to a friend of God, a child of God. Galatians 3:20, it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. Well, that should sum up all of the racial divide right now, shouldn't it? Christ died for everyone. I know that's not in my notes. That was just a freebie. And lastly, our old nature, we are in bondage. Bondage to sin in which we cannot break free. Hebrews 2:15, it says, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You're born in sin, and if you haven't been born in the Spirit, you will die in sin and will spend eternity in a place called hell and that bondage of sin. But Galatians 1:5 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. We've gone from bondage, I think, of someone who's tied up and in handcuffs or imprisoned, to the liberty, being able to walk free and be able to live life. We have liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, revealing us or freeing us from that bondage, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Not again. You can't lose your salvation. You can't be freed from bondage of sin and then find yourself entangled with it again. Once Jesus Christ sets you free at the foot of Calvary, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in Him alone, you'll never have to face hell again. You'll never have to face the bondage of your sin because Christ has set you free. And in Galatians 1:5, we cannot entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What Christ hath made permanent, we cannot undo. What God has made everlasting, we cannot stop. What God has promised, we cannot break. And if we can't do anything to earn our salvation, we can't do anything to lose our salvation either. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you get transferred from the old nature, that old flesh, that sinful nature, to all of the things in which we find in Christ, in the life in Christ, as a child of God. Boy, we're blessed this morning. We have something to smile about. We have something to continue in this life and to face on certain days. No matter what may come our way, we have something to live for. You know, someone who lives for today, they might be called selfish. Someone who lives for their lifetime might be called short-sighted. But someone who lives for eternity, and they make those daily investments and to leave a legacy, you must build a legacy. And in order to build a legacy, it takes action every day. You and I, we can build a legacy as a Christian, as this world will know, whether it be for good or bad, our testimony. All the things in which God has given us the ability and the tools that have taken this legacy of sin and despair and destruction to give us hope and peace and love. You and I, we can continue to build that legacy. We can pass it on to our children. The greatest fear that I have one day is that my grandchildren would never hear the gospel and die without Jesus Christ. Boy, what a terrible thought to think. What about our next generation? You know, if we're going to help reach the next generation, we need to start building a legacy today. I'm thankful for those faithful men and women of this church that built the legacy for this church over the last 20 years. I want to continue that. But in order to continue that, we need to make some actions and corrections and decisions today. What about you? Do you know you're on your way to heaven? Do you know that you're born again? Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you a born-again creature? Or do you find yourself back in this sinful condition, never having accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and everything about your life is despair, bondage, judgment? I don't know about you, but I want every individual that I ever come in contact with to accept Christ as their Savior. I don't want anyone to ever die and have to pay for their sins in a place called hell. Because they were born a sinner, lived their life as a sinner, and they died a sinner. Every individual, we cannot change the fact we're born a sinner. But you can change the fact you can die forgiven. You can die justified. You can die being freely forgiven because you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning or you're watching this morning, would you accept Him as your Savior? Maybe you're here this morning, maybe you're a child or a teenager or even an adult. You didn't say, boy, I never understood all the things. And boy, for the sake of time, there was much more. The things that took place the day I got saved. That very moment, all of those things of the old nature were put away. And all of those things that were inherited to me as a child of God, adopted into the family of God. All of those things and blessings that I have now available to me. May it allow us to motivate us, to push us to do more for the cause of Christ, to not only to tell others, but to live a life of gratitude and thankfulness because of everything that God did the day we got saved. For a child, it was just, I didn't want to go to hell. But now being saved for over 35 years, I look back and think, Lord, all the things You did back on that day, the things in which I've had available to me, but I've not always claimed, I've not always lived. Boy, it should strive to help us to strive to live in the fruit of the Spirit, to live with the armor that God has given us so that we can live in victory. We no longer have to come back again to God saying, God, it's just because I'm a sinner, it's who I am. No, we have that's who we were. I know this isn't good English now, but it's not who we are now. It's who we was. You and I, we have the ability to live victorious in this life because of that last Adam. That second Adam from above, talking about Jesus Christ. The first Adam gave physical life, of course, to all of mankind. That second Adam, Jesus Christ, gave spiritual life, eternal life, to all those who would accept it. Would you call upon Him today if that need be the case? If you're here this morning, boy, let's praise the Lord and thank the Lord for all the things that we acquired, all of the things in which we now have available to us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for